It's a very important purport by Srila Prabhupada in explaining about the proper function of a practicing devotional, devotee in devotional service. Everything a devotee does, he does according to the orders of his superiors. Otherwise, even if somebody performs devotional service, and if it is not guided by the authorities, then that activity does not give proper results. So here Priyarat Maharaj wanted to continue the life of renunciation, which according to the Varnashram system is considered as the highest. And that's much easier to practice devotional service. But the desire of the superiors like Lord Brahma and Swayambhuva Manu was something different. And because he complied to the orders of his superiors, we see that apparently even though he appeared to be got caught up in the household life, but at the right time he came out of it and he established himself in the path of pure devotional service. Therefore, the path of devotional service involves very precisely acting according to the desires of the authorities. Srila Prabhupada explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that all of our bodily activities, to convert our bodily activities in spiritual form, you need to be connected to the divine energy. Just simply the set of rituals does not make it spiritual. Srila Prabhupada explains in one purport in the 10th canto that Nalakuvar and Manigriva were also taking bath in Ganga. Taking bath in Ganga is considered as not simply religious activity, it is part of devotional service. But that set of act, taking bath in Ganga, did not purify Nalakuvar and Manigriva. In fact, rather it contaminated them. So Prabhupada explains what is spiritual and what is material. It depends upon the attitude. So therefore, this set of rituals what we practice in devotional service, that does not constitute as a spiritual act. Spiritual act is considered as when we practice based upon the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. Therefore, all our bodily activities can be transformed into spiritual activities only when it is directed by the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why? Because the Lord Himself is always situated in spiritual energy. There is no material for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, a pure devotee of the Lord, Prabhupada explains, he is always under the shelter of Daivim Prakriti Mashrita. So when we take shelter of such devotee and accept his order, then our activities also become spiritual. One time, one devotee was deciding on his own how many rounds to chant. And devotees would come and tell Srila Prabhupada, this devotee is chanting 16 rounds. Now he stopped eating, he is eating only once a day. Now he is chanting 64 rounds. Prabhupada said, this is karma mimamsa. As long as I will be involved in it, I will do this, I will do that, it is not pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada was not impressed by this devotee who was trying to, you know, perform the rituals of devotional service in a very intense form. Why was he not impressed? Because he was not doing under the guidance of the spiritual master. Similarly, even though Priyavrat Maharaj, he came down from a Varanashram point of view, he came down from the renounced order to the order of enjoyment. But because he was doing it under the direction of his spiritual master and his father, and he accepted that proposal even though he was not wanting to do it, you know, he became successful in his endeavor to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Especially in regards to Varnashram Dharma, Prabhupada very elaborately explains. To establish Krishna consciousness society in the mundane world, it involves accepting the principle of Varnashram Dharma. Sometimes there is a debate amongst devotees. Is Varnashram Dharma required? Is it not something mundane which is not on the platform of pure devotional service? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Varnashram Dharma, Eho Bhaya, that this is external, go beyond this. But Srila Prabhupada explains in a different way when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, where does human society begins? And Ramananda explained that human society begins with Varnashram Dharma. The basic requirement to become a civilized human being is that one has to come to the platform of Varnashram Dharma. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Sadhana Bhakti and Varnashram Dharma, they go together. What is Sadhana Bhakti means? Sadhana Bhakti means involving our senses, doubting our conditioning propensities in the service of the Lord. And Varnashram Dharma also means that one is born of certain nature, Rajogun, Tamogun and Sattvagun. One cannot purify oneself by rejecting one's propensities. One can purify one's consciousness by actually doubting one's conditioning nature in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means precisely Varnashram Dharma is a great aid to help us to advance on the path of Raga Marg. Simply rejection of Varnashram Dharma will not help us to practice devotional service in the platform of Raga Marg. One may talk about, you know, our goal is to go back to Godhead. Recently in Vrindavan, one devotee was giving class and he gave a very brilliant example. He said, a man may come and say, if he comes to Bombay from West, and if you talk to him, he might say that I live in, you know, very posh localities in the West. I've got a nice bungalow in London. I've got a nice house in New York, in Los Angeles. Now where do you stay? Now I'm staying in Jhopadpatti in Bombay. That doesn't make any sense. So similarly, one may say that our goal is Prema Bhakti. That we want to attain Golok Vrindavan. We want to go back to the spiritual realm. But now what is your level? No, now my level is that I'm living a reckless life. And I don't have any proper ashram. I don't have any varna. And I don't do anything based upon the teacher's instruction. But my goal is to go back to Godhead. It doesn't make any sense. So therefore here we see that Prabhupada, when he talks about establishing Varnashram Dharma, it is so important to make us refine. And then we can practice devotional service in a proper spirit. Otherwise reckless behavior while practicing devotional service does not give any good inspiration or impression amongst those conditioned souls who are looking after, who are looking for spirituality. And therefore when somebody practices Varnashram Dharma in a proper spirit, we see in the Mahabharata, when Pandavas, after fighting the battle of Kurukshetra on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they defeated all the Kauravas and their allies. And Yudhishthira Maharaj became the king. Everything was done on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were all the time guided by Krishna. But they did not justify that, you know, we have done on the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we don't need to do anything about it. In fact, Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling quite pain by seeing the whole situation that I am the cause of death of so many warriors. Even though it was the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, still he felt that it is my mistake. As a Kshatriya, I desired very ambitious position. I wanted to be the king of the entire universe. It's very bad on my part. He didn't justify, I did my devotional service, who cares? No. Then he approached Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva recommended what is recommended to all the kings. Just like when Lord Ramachandra, even as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he killed Ravan. But just to overcome the sin, there is no sin for a pure devotee or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to set a right example, Ashwamedha sacrifice is performed just so that you can eradicate all the sins you are accumulated for fighting a war. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, even though he performed his devotional service, but still he did the act of performing Ashwamedha Yajna, so that whatever sins are there were no sins. But that is how a devotee of the Lord practicing Varnashram Dharma feels. He does not act in a platform which is considered as a transcendental platform, but actually it is a reckless platform. Therefore, living in a platform of Varnashram Dharma for a sadhaka is very, very important. Sometimes we see devotees have this conception that Varnashram Dharma is not the goal. No, Varnashram Dharma is not the goal, but that is the stepping stone to attain the goal of our spiritual practices. Therefore, living an artificial life does not give satisfaction. We have discussed this many times. You know, a devotee may be practicing devotional service, but is not willing to take the responsibility either of grihastha life or the responsibility of a brahmachari life. They want the independence of brahmachari life, but the enjoyment of grihastha life. That is a very risky position. Independence of brahmachari life means that he doesn't have the encumbrance of accepting a family, taking care of the children. He can live an independent life. That life he wants, but at the same time he wants the enjoyment of grihastha life. Earning money, living away from the house of the spiritual master. That is not the proper life. Therefore, in the Mahabharata, when Arjuna and other Pandavas, after they were, you know, troubled by the Kauravas, they were tried to be burnt by the Kauravas. So they were attacked by a Gandharva. And the Gandharva attacked them, and Arjuna fought this Gandharva, very easily defeated him. After defeating this Gandharva, Arjuna raised this question. He said, why did you attack us? What was the reason behind you attacked us? Why did you put us in trouble? And Gandharva gave a very significant answer, very profound answer. He said, my dear Pandavas, you already finished your brahmacharya life. Your training of brahmacharya life is over. Your student life is over. Even though your student life is over, you are not accepted in next ashram of a grihastha life. And because your ashram is not stable, you should always accept difficulties in an unstable ashram. It is guaranteed. That is the one reason you were attacked by us. And second reason is that this is the right time for you to accept a spiritual master, a guide in your life, a spiritual teacher. Even that is not there for you. So therefore, when these things are not there, on a physical level, you can always accept difficulties. And immediately after that, we see that Pandavas accepted Daumya as their teacher and they got married to Draupadi. So therefore, in devotional life, sometime because of our condition, we keep certain aspect of our life in our own hands. No, in this regard, I'll manage on my own. Let the spiritual master, let my authorities, don't get involved in this. No. And because we do that, again our act, our behavior remains very artificial. It is not based upon the scripture. Therefore, a devotee of the Lord who is practicing sadhana bhakti, he is very careful to follow all the rules and regulations. I was just reading this new book about Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, friend of all. There Prabhupada's family life is spoken by one devotee. He says when Prabhupada was living in a household life, he was a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. From very beginning, everybody knew his scholarship, his devotion. Therefore, they gave him the title of Bhaktivedanta. But one devotee mentions that when Srila Prabhupada was living in his household life, he would go for preaching. And as a preacher, he was very powerful presenting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But still he would practice the system of Varnashram Dharma. He would go along with brahmacharis. And this brahmachari was a new devotee. But still Prabhupada would make him sit on a proper vyasasana, on a higher seat. He would insist that you sit on a higher seat and he would sit down. And that brahmachari would object. He said, Abhay Babu, he said, I am not very qualified to speak. He said, I don't know, I have no experience of speaking Krishna Katha. You please speak, you sit on this vyasasana. His Prabhupada would say, no. He said, I am a grahastha and it is my duty to respect a renounced order in a proper spirit. And this brahmachari would sit up and he would recite shlokas. And Prabhupada would give explanation while sitting down on a lower position. Just so that he can properly follow the system of Varnashram Dharma. And one relative of Srila Prabhupada, a distant relative, she was also a disciple of Bhakti Sarang Goswami Prabhupada's god brother. She explains that when Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan for 4 years before accepting sannyas, he would always talk to her, you know, discuss with her. But when he accepted sannyas in 1959, from 1959 to 1965, she writes that as a sannyasi, he became very strict. He became very disciplined. He would not talk to me because I was his relative. He followed the rules of a sannyasi very strictly. He allowed me to hear him speak Krishna Katha by sitting in a distant place. That means again acting on the platform of a sannyas dharma. And she explains, only when Prabhupada came back as the spiritual leader, as the acharya of an institution, then acting on the transcendental platform, he again started talking to me as the spiritual leader. But otherwise as a sannyasi, he would not do it. So similarly we see here, that all the rules and regulations are there for Varna and Ashram. But at the same time, there will be a situation where a leader of an institution or a spiritual master has to act on the transcendental platform, which may be cause of criticism by those who are not well informed. Like a sannyasi will never arrange marriages of his disciple. He does not get involved in it. But because he had to establish Daiva Varnashram, Srila Prabhupada actually got very much actively involved in arranging the marriages of his disciples. Why? Because that was an emergency. So when there is an emergency, when there is an important need, then a devotee, one who is a practicing devotee, he acts on the transcendental platform. Therefore, Krishna consciousness, the philosophy of devotional service, is so broad. It is not narrow. It is very, very broad. So according to one's maturity, a devotee of the Lord, especially an acharya, he sets a standard. He acts in emergency, arranging marriages. But again, eventually Srila Prabhupada told his disciples that, you don't get me involved in these things now. When there was a need, Srila Prabhupada was doing it. But again, he acted back into the platform of a renunciate. Therefore, both the principles, that acting on the platform of Varnashram Dharma is very important. If a brahmachari is not acting as a brahmachari, if there is an emergency all the time, then he cannot continue as a brahmachari. He has to act as a brahmachari, he has to follow all the rules and regulations of a brahmachari life. Yes, there may be an emergency, but at that time, during the emergency, he may not act as a brahmachari, but he has to come back. Similar in the household life, Prabhupada makes it very clear that somebody is living in the household life, he has to know that living in household life means he has to have wife, he has to have children, Otherwise, unless he fulfills his responsibilities, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that there are three kinds of activities. Sometime avoiding responsibilities, thinking that it is troublesome, that kind of act is in the mode of passion, that it is troublesome, therefore I will not take this responsibility. No, even though it may be troublesome, but that ashram demands this kind of activity. You have to act on that platform. Otherwise, one's progress, one may say that my goal is Golok Vrindavan, but what steps are you taking to go back to Godhead? Because our conditioned nature has to be purified. Otherwise, what happens? Eventually, at the wrong time, a person is forced to act according to his nature. At the wrong time. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, unfortunately in this age of Kali, what one is supposed to do at the right age, he does it in a wrong time. As long as we purify our nature, our conditioned nature, by actually doubting our conditioned nature in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just abruptly our conditioned nature cannot be purified. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains that my Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he established this Krishna consciousness movement, he was making brahmacharis and sannyasis. He had no plans of actually making householders. Prabhupada said, when I came to West, that was also my plan, to make only brahmacharis and sannyasis. But when I came to the West, Prabhupada explained, when I saw that intermingling in the Western world is so common, I decided that this will not work so much. So therefore, we started making more grahasthas, and all the devotees start applauding. This is a lecture Srila Prabhupada is giving. So we see that, seeing what is the background of people and engaging according to their propensity in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the expertise of the great teacher. In that way, they become purified. Sometime, we also see that when somebody becomes a grahastha, he takes on a job, he starts making money, the natural consequences of that kind of life is that his intensity in devotional service is reduced. He cannot practice what he was practicing as a brahmachari. And he may feel that, you know, I am losing my spiritual life. I need a very proper spiritual practice, more devotional practice. He continues to remain in household life, but he increases his devotional service in an artificial way. He does not take a job. He does not make money. He lives an impractical life. Part of grahastha life is to save money for future expenditure. But because he is scared that my devotional service may be lost, then he starts living with less. But because he is living in a household life, he needs money. He needs to provide to his family members. And after, when he becomes 50 years old or 45 years old, he realizes that, no, I cannot continue like this. Then he gives up his devotional practices, which he practiced in a very wrong way. And then he looks for a job at the age of 50. This is not proper. And if we see Srila Prabhupada's life, even when he was forced by his god brothers, he would see in his dream, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would come and ask him to take sannyas. He always felt that I am not qualified. Let me practice devotional service from the household life only. But only when the order became very intense through the words of his god brothers, seeing regular dreams of his spiritual master, then Srila Prabhupada with great hesitation, he accepted the order of sannyas life. So therefore we see here, even though Priyavrat Maharaj apparently appeared that is losing his spiritual practice, which he was practicing in the renounced order, that is quite natural. The intensity in the renounced order and the intensity in the household life is quite different, at least on the external level. On the conscious level, it may not be so, but on the external level, it is always like that. It is quite natural. But one who continues to live according to his propensities according to his varna and ashram, follows the proper structure of varnashram under the guidance of spiritual master, at the right time, as Priyavrat Maharaj, at the right time he came out of that complex situation and continued to practice pure devotional service. Therefore, here in Srila Prabhupada, very important purport, he is talking about establishing Daivi Varnashram. In Varnashram system, it is not that one is stuck to one Varna or one Ashram. There is, he can always upgrade his Varna, he can also upgrade his Ashram. Like Bharat Maharaj, we see, he was son of a Kshatriya. Some of his brothers acted as Brahmanas, he acted as a Kshatriya. But when he completed his responsibilities as a Kshatriya, he upgraded his ashram and varna both. He took up to the higher orders of varna, vanaprastha life. And after giving up the responsibilities of a Kshatriya, he started acting on the platform of a Brahmana. Therefore, in the path of sadhana bhakti, in varnashram system, it is not that one is stuck to the same varna and ashram. If somebody is Vaishya, it's not that he dies as a Vaishya. He actually can gradually progress from being Vaishya, doubting all that propensity, the desire to earn money. It is not bad. Being a Vaishya, wherever he sees that propensity to make money, you know, he becomes very ecstatic. A Kshatriya, whenever he sees the facilities to administrate, to manage, to fight, naturally his qualities come up. So he has to purify his propensities by engaging in the service of the Lord in the sadhana bhakti. But then once his propensities are fulfilled, then he can upgrade his ashram and come to the brahmanical status. Engage more in reading the scripture, engage more in the preaching of Krishna consciousness activities. And we see many of our grahasthas who are going to that level, fulfilling the propensities of a Vaishya and then slowly, slowly upgrading themselves in the Varana of becoming Brahmanas and preaching devotional service. So that is the perfect way to advance in Krishna consciousness. One cannot suddenly become a pure devotee. For most people it is not possible. Very exceptional case. Very exceptional case. They hear one word about devotional service, they give up everything, and for the rest of their life, they continue to practice devotional service. Very rare cases, like we read that story of Lala Babu. He heard something, not even pure devotional service, something that time is passing. He could quit everything and practice pure devotional service. But most people have to go through the gradual progression from being brahmachari, grahastha, from grahastha to vanaprastha, and from vanaprastha to sannyas order, slowly increasing one's devotional activities. Similarly, in the varna also, that one is born in a... In fact, Kali Yuga, everybody is born Shudra. But doesn't mean that he has to live as a Shudra for the rest of his life. Yes, he may doubt in his propensity of being Shudra and purify himself. And then from that platform, he can actually jump into the platform of a Brahmana, where he continuously hears about Krishna, he chants more about Krishna, he can also speak about Krishna, become a preacher. And therefore Srila Prabhupada explains the main goal of our Krishna Consciousness Society is to create Brahmanas. But at the same time, that is not the only goal. The goal is also to give facilities for everybody according to their propensities to engage in the service of the Lord. It is not narrow path. Devotional service does not involve only performing certain kind of activities. We see sometime among some devotees that, yes, Prabhupada said book distribution is the highest. But if somebody does not have that inclination of engaging in book distribution, that doesn't mean that he has no facility to practice devotional service. Yes, it may be highest act, but still he can still perform devotional service, because devotional service has got many, many avenues to practice and engage in the service of the Lord. Yes, Krishna consciousness meant to create preachers. But one may not have the inclination to become a preacher. That doesn't mean that he is a criminal. He will have other facilities to be engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing that yes, preaching is the highest, but I do not have that disposition, I do not have that qualification, so let me engage in some other way. So therefore the expert devotee of the Lord, he teaches what is highest, but at the same time seeing the propensities of a devotee, he engages them according to their propensity, so that he can gradually purify his consciousness and ultimately engage in the process of chanting and hearing. Then we can say, yes, I have a house here, I have a house there, but I also live in a nice house when I come to Bombay. Then it makes sense. It was a brilliant example. Our goal is Golok Vrindavan. But if you ask, what kind of life you are leading? No, I have no ashram, I have no varna, you know, I live as a brahmachari, but I am earning money. A brahmachari living in the ashram, if he is making money as a bank account, then who will respect such a person? And if a grahastha, you know, is living outside, but he does not work, you know, he is begging like a brahmachari, then what kind of householder is he? So therefore, when somebody practices according to proper varna and ashram and engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he gradually progresses under the guidance of the spiritual master. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you gave the example of Lord Ramchandram that to eradicate the sins of fighting a war, he performed the Ashwamedha Yajna, just to set an example. Similarly, when one takes to devotional life, we have to make so many changes in our life, and certain practices are given up and new practices are accepted. One example that is coming to mind is performance of Shraddha. So, how does a devotee stand in this relation? After embracing the devotional way of life, should one continue to engage in activities like performing Shraddha as to set an example, or one should give up those activities? That is one question. And second question, also certain traditional forms of worship like Ganesh Puja or Lakshmi Puja which people do, should one give it up or should one give it, continue as an example?
The first question, the answer to the first question is that one may not give up the Shraddha ceremony, but rather spiritualize it. We see that rather than inviting any ordinary brahmanas, you call devotees and have Krishna Katha and offer Krishna Prasad to your ancestors. A devotee of the Lord, a practicing devotee, sees every situation to increase his devotional service. So rather than, it depends, you can give it up or you can spiritualize it, Krishnaize it. Many devotees do like that. You know, rather than simply inviting any ordinary brahmanas, they invite devotees. They have nice Krishna Katha. They offer only Krishna Prasad to their ancestors. In this way, everybody gets benefit. And secondly, about worshipping different demigods, functional deities. Our acharya has given a system that even as a householder, rather than worshipping Navagrahas, we see in certain functions, Gopal Bhatta Goswami has given that rather than worshipping Navagrahas, you worship Navayogendras, pure devotees of the Lord. Rather than worshipping many demigods, you worship unlimited Vaishnavas. Like if a householder has to enter inside his house, new house, Graha Pravesh, he may perform the same ritual, apparently the same ritual what the non-devotees are performing, but that is completely spiritual. Why? Because in all this ritual, there is only worship of pure devotees, there is worship of the Mahajanas, There is worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Apparently, the ritual may appear to be same. Just like we recently performed yajna for our new DT kitchen. What was there? And all the rituals, all the mantras were directly connected to Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Nava Yogendras were worshipped. You know, Mahajanas were worshipped. 12 Mahajanas were worshipped. The Vastu Purusha was, Vishnu was worshipped. So therefore, either one can do like that, or one can simply just do chant Hare Krishna. But we don't do the activities which non-devotees do, worshipping the demigods, worshipping the, you know, different kinds of grahas. No, they switch over and worship the pure devotees of the Lord. As that is the understanding what our acharyas give. Gopala Bhatta Goswami, you know, in the many, based upon the principle of different rituals for the householders. Anteshti Kriya also. Marriage ceremony. It's not that he simply gets married because we are transcendental now. Therefore, there is no marriage ceremony. No, he actually performs the sacrifice. The Vedic rites are performed. But then again, who is worshipped? A pure devotee is worshipped. The spiritual master is worshipped. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped. And all the line of, you know, the acharyas, the mahajanas, the navayogendras are worshipped. So therefore everything is spiritualizes. Even during the last riots, it is not that just because a pure devotee, therefore there is no function. We will just chant and burn his body or just cast it in the water. No, he goes through all the functions, what has been given by our acharyas, making it Krishnaized. So therefore it just does not give up anything. He does everything systematically. Just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As a sannyasi also, he came to Prayag. And during Magha Mela, during Kumbh Mela time, he took the bath, which is auspicious bath. But not like ordinary materialistic people, but as a devotee. So therefore a devotee of the Lord, just because he has become a devotee, he does not say this is all transcendental and we will not do these things. He does not give up whimsically even the ordinary activities. He performs his ordinary activities in a way which is Krishna conscious. He does not recklessly give them up. That is the point. And the best example is the Pandavas. Even while performing their devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this will happen in our life. We may be doing the service of our spiritual master, but while doing this service of the spiritual master, either intentionally or unintentionally we offend other devotees. It is not so pleasing to Krishna. I may say, okay, I am doing it for Krishna, who cares? I am doing it for my spiritual master. Even if I am pleasing some devotees, I don't care because main thing is the order. No. He is very careful not to minimize the bad reaction. If my devotional service is hurting, you know, my devotional activities are hurting some of our devotee friends, then it is not right. One has to be careful. Even Rupa Goswami, this is explained, that not unintentionally that other person felt that Rupa Goswami is offending me. Just see how devotional service is very sensitive. So when we know that, you know, my devotional service is offending, I am offending so many people because of my devotional service, even though it is maybe pleasing to the Lord, then we have to go and beg forgiveness to that devotee, that okay, even though I am doing devotional service, but this devotional service is, by this I am offending you, please forgive me. That's how a practicing devotee does it. And Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that any sane person will beg forgiveness of all his offenses which he has done intentionally or unintentionally, at least at the time of his departure. And Prabhupada again set this example. He was never proud. He was never, offensive to his God brothers. But he said that while establishing this Krishna consciousness movement, sometime, you know, I spoke harshly. Even though he didn't speak. Why? That is the system. He could have justified, you know, I didn't do anything, I never was wrong. You didn't establish, but I was the one who established, but he was careful to say that while establishing the mission, I offended some of my God brothers, so please forgive me. That's how a devotee of the Lord, even though he doesn't need to do that, but he does it in a very conscious way, so that there are no risks involved. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.